Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Datamatics Global Services Limited Q1 FY26 earnings call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Prateek Jagtap from EY Investor Relations. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Bhavya. Good afternoon to all the participants in the call today. Welcome to Q1 FY26 earnings call of Datamatics Global Services Limited. The results and presentation have been already mailed to you and it is also available on the website of Datamatics. In case anyone has not received a copy of press release or presentation, please do write to us and we will be happy to send you all. To take us through the results today and to answer your questions, we have with us the top management of the company, represented by Rahul Kanodia, Vice Chairman and CEO, Ankush Akar, SVP and Chief Financial Officer, Mitul Mehta, EVP and Chief Marketing Officer. Rahul will start the call with a brief overview of the quarter on business, which will be then followed by Ankush, who will take us through the financials. Then we will open the floor for Q&A session. I would like to remind you that anything that is said on this call, which gives any outlook for the future or which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with the risks and uncertainties that we face. These risks and uncertainties are included but not limited to what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with SEBI and subsequent annual reports, which you can find on our website. With that said, I now hand over the call to Rahul sir. Over to you, Rahul sir.
Thank you, Prateek. A very warm welcome and thank you all for joining our Q1 FY26 earnings call. I will begin with the key highlights from our quarterly performance, after which Ankush will walk you through the financial update. After that, we will open the floor for a Q&A session. We delivered a healthy performance in Q1 FY26, reporting a revenue of 467.6 crores and 18.7% year-on-year growth, though reflecting a 6% sequential decline, as Q4 traditionally tends to benefit from our tax processing business and we see a spike in Q4 normally. Our EBITDA stood at 75.9 crores, a healthy margin of 16.2% on revenue, driven by continued focus on operational efficiencies and cost optimization initiatives. We remain focused on sustaining this momentum throughout the rest of the financial year 26. These efforts have led to a notable margin improvement in digital technologies, while digital operations margins remain stable. I would like to take a few moments to share the key updates of our business segments, starting with digital technologies. I am pleased to report that our ongoing cost optimization efforts have led to an improvement in margins across digital technology segment. There is a direct result of disciplined execution on operational efficiencies. On the innovation front, we made significant strides with AI-driven solutions. We successfully built AI agents tailored for key verticals including insurance, banking and logistics, showcasing the depth and versatility of our capabilities. We are also proud to be partnering with a leading bank in UAE, where we are playing a pivotal role in helping them define their AI strategy and establish their AI center of excellence. This is a long-term strategic engagement that underscores our thought leadership in the AI space. A major Japanese consumer electronic company has selected our intelligent automation suite, including TrueCap, TrueBot, and TrueBI, to drive process automation. This win validates the strength and the relevance of our intelligent automation offerings on the global stage. Moving to our digital operations business, we recently launched the latest version of Enato order-to-cash applications, which now include our enhanced version of cash, credit, and collection features. Notably, this upgrade introduces an AI-powered collection agent which provides out-of-the-box functionality to proactively follow up with customers on pending payments, driving faster collections and improved cash flows. Our deal pipeline continues to look healthy, giving us visibility into the future growth. In the digital experiences business, we observed a revenue and margin decline in digital experiences, primarily due to one of our top 10 customers transitioning partially some of its operations into their captive unit. We expect another customer to transition to their captive unit, to their GCC, in quarter four of this year. However, we have signed long-term contracts with a large American optical retail chain to evaluate their omnichannel customer experience and with an American pharma enterprise for their customer outreach initiative. Across these customers, we are implementing digital AI agents to augment human agents for delivering enhanced productivity and customer experience. Additionally, we are working on GCC offering as a growth driver for the organization. We have a good pipeline of AI-based projects across all our lines of businesses. Some of the pilots we have done are now converting into full-fledged commercial projects. As far as tariffs are concerned, we see no direct impact on us. However, many customers are still treading slowly due to the tariff situation. I am proud to share that we recently celebrated a remarkable milestone, the 50th anniversary of Datamatics. Over the past five decades, we have not only witnessed but also played a role in the evolution of India's IT and BPO industries. What started as a bold vision of our Chairman and Founder, Dr. Kanodia, has now grown into a resilient and innovative enterprise, thriving through every wave of technological change. As we look ahead, I am truly excited about the future. We stand at the forefront of a new technological revolution, and Datamatics is strongly positioned to seize the opportunities it brings. A heartfelt thank you to our customers, employees, and investors for being an integral part of this journey. With that, I will now hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. Ankush Akkar. Over to you, Ankush.
Thank you, Rahul. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us in Q1 FY26 earnings call. Let me take you through the financial performance for the Q1 FY26. Our Q1 FY26 revenue stood at rupees 467.6 crore, reflecting a growth of 18.7% on year-on-year basis and a decline by 6% on quarter-on-quarter basis. Typically, the fourth quarter is a seasonally strong quarter with higher volumes, which is followed by a sequential decline in first quarter. Our cost optimization efforts and enhanced operational efficiency helped us improve our EBITDA to rupees 75.9 crore, a growth of 1.9% on quarter-on-quarter basis. On a YOY basis, we grew by 47.7%, which includes numbers from TNQ Tech. This reflects our commitment to improve performance despite macro environment challenges and softness in revenue. Our EBITDA margin for the quarter stood at 16.2%, reflecting an expansion of 319 basis points on a year-on-year basis and 125 basis points on quarter-on-quarter basis. Our EBIT for the quarter stood at rupees 56.4 crore, which is up by 3.5% on quarter-on-quarter basis and 32.5% on year-on-year basis. Our EBIT margin was at 12.1%, reflecting an expansion of rupees 126 basis points on year-on-year basis. Our PAT after non-controlling interest was at rupees 50.4 crore, up by 12.3% on quarter-on-quarter basis. Our PAT margin stood at 10.5%. EPS for the quarter stood at rupees 8.52 per share, reflecting a growth of 12.2% on quarter-on-quarter basis and 15.7% on year-on-year basis. In terms of segment, digital technologies contribution to total revenue was at 31%, digital operations contribution at 55%, and digital experiences contribution at 14%. Our digital operations revenue for the quarter was rupees 255.6 crore, and EBIT margin was at 16.4%. Digital technologies revenue for the quarter was rupees 144.4 crore, and EBIT margin was 6.9%. Digital experiences revenue for the quarter was 67.6 crore, and EBIT margin was 6.8%. We continue to maintain a healthy balance sheet. As of June 30, 2025, our net cash and investments, net of debts, stood at 457.3 crore. Our billed DSO was at 56 days as of June 2025, as compared to 57 days as of March 2025. In terms of geographical footprint, the U.S. remains our largest geography, with 55% of our business coming from here, followed by the U.K. and Europe at 21%, and India at 16%, and ROW at 8%. Our client concentration remains very healthy, with top 5, 10, and 20 clients contributing to 25%, 38%, and 52%, respectively. With this, I will now pass on the call to the operator to open the floor for questions. Thank you for your patience and continued interest in Datamatics.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Srinivasu K from TIA. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir.
Hello.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are audible.
Thank you, sir, and congrats for the excellent set of numbers. My question is about the your IP strategy for the AI. Like, how does your AI stack, like through AI, through CAP, through bot, how it actually differentiates from the global players like UiPath or even Indian players like Nugent Software?
So in some ways we compete with them. So in some ways it's similar. I do think that we have had an edge in terms of our partnerships with the OEMs like Microsoft and Google, where we were able to implement a lot of the AI technologies into these platforms, and that does give a differentiator. Having said that, competition is not going to be slow. They will catch up very soon. So we compete with them. We are in a similar space. But the fundamental difference is because Datamatics comes from a services background, we understand how to make sure that these products go live with the customer, whereas the others are purely product companies. So once they sell a license, then beyond that, the success of that license really lies in the hands of the customer. Whereas in Datamatics' case, we are able to ensure that it goes live and gives the customer an ROI. And that's why it gives us an edge.
Okay. You also mentioned in your presentation that small language models and Copilot integrations with Microsoft and Google. So is it used internally or offered commercially?
These are commercially done. Small language models are built specifically for each customer. So it is very customer specific. Copilot also, we are using it internally, plus we are implementing it for our customers as well. And many customers have bought the licenses, but they struggle to get an ROI from it or struggle to really implement it. And that's where we make sure that they succeed.
Okay. So what is your go-to model for monetizing this AI, sir? How are you pricing them?
So the price is, so it's not a product that has a standard price. A lot of this is customized depending on the need of the customer and depending on the integration that needs to be done with the customer's enterprise systems. So I mean, there's no straight answer as to how do we price it. But today, AI is at a little bit of a premium price, so that we do see that little premium coming in.
So is question, sir. Clients are asking for AI-based intelligent automation versus the traditional automation and RPA?
Yes. That you see a significant move in that direction.
Okay.
Also, so what happens is when there are certain use cases which traditional automation and AI solutions, automation solutions cannot address, so that's when the AI is brought in. So they both have very, very clear use cases. It's not that the traditional RPA is out of the window. It definitely has its set of use cases, but an intelligent automation with AI-driven RPA and IDP has reaches a little farther down in terms of solutions and automation.
So are you going beyond this document processing with respect to AI?
Yes, so document processing is one component, but the moment you put robots, RPA, and then you put agents, it's a very different game.
Correct. It helps you do more complex tasks. You can automate much more complex tasks. You can go live much faster because your training periods are less. So there are definitely value propositions around AI and a larger automation suite, which is what comprises of IDP, RPA, agents and BI.
Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. A reminder to the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The next question is from the line of Krishma Shah from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening to the management team and thanks for taking my question. Keen to know how we've done organically. I understand the integration of TNQ Tech in our business. So year on year, the growth looks fantastic. But if you could highlight how's the organic business done, how's Dextara done, you know, that should be helpful.
Sure. So on a sequential quarter basis, we have degrown 6% as we have showed in our numbers. On a year-on-year growth, I think we've had a mid-single digits kind of growth, so it has been sort of muted. Going forward, we see a similar trend because there's a lot of slowness in the decision-making that we see on the client. As far as Dextara and TNQ concerned, the integration is going smooth. I think they are both in a very stable situation, so we are in a good place with both these organizations.
So given that now Dextara has integrated and finished 1 year, I suppose, now how has Dextara grown on a year-on-year basis for this quarter?
So this quarter is flat, but what's happening now is that we see a lot more traction from our existing customer base, and we've been able to take so the cross-sell strategy it seems to be delivering, and we've been able to take the Dextara expertise to a lot of our current and new opportunities. So that integrated offering, we see much more happening now. So it's taken about a year, but we've started seeing that already. Last quarter, if you remember, we had talked about 5 customers where we were cross-selling. Today, it's in 1 quarter gone to 8. So there are 3 additional customers. Hopefully, this should pick up a little more as we go forward. So the other traditional sales team of Datamatics has now come up to speed with understanding their offerings.
Okay. And TNQ, how has it grown year on year? I understand it was not part of Datamatics a year ago, but just to understand how the business has grown.
TNQ has shown a good growth quarter on quarter. Their profits are also very, very stable. So in fact, that acquisition has turned out to be very good for Datamatics. And I think it's being, right now we are in the process of integrating it, so that will take a little more effort, but it's going very smooth. And it's healthy. So
quarter one last year to quarter one this year, TNQ has grown?
2%. Last year, you were talking about quarter one of last year to quarter one of this year.
Yes.
We've had a 2% growth, but you know, our sales cycle is about 9 months roughly, so you can't expect anything to change in 1 or 2 quarters.
Okay. And, you know, on the margin side of it, one looks at various segments, you know, margins on the digital experiences side has taken a significant, dip. Is it just because of the customer migration that you spoke about?
That is correct. There's a customer migration, and also what's happened is when the customer migrates to their captive, we might still have a headcount that remains with us for a while because you can't, we're not rebadging, we're not moving the people. So the people stay back, customer moves, and it takes a quarter to sort of streamline that piece. But on that front, we are on the verge of signing some very good deals. So I think we'll bounce back quite quickly.
Okay. And on the digital technology side, year on year, we see improvement as highlighted by you because of operational efficiency. So do we see margins improving significantly as we close the year in this segment?
I think we will see another 100 basis points improvement at least, probably. And so overall at a company level, we will see between 50 to 100 basis points. It will vary. Digital technologies will be a little better. Digital experience will bounce back a little bit. So it will be a combination of all these things. Digital operations and the whole digital content will be very stable.
Okay. And overall, for the year, the organic business would grow like low single digits and QoQ, what's the outlook?
Sorry to interrupt. There's a bit of echo from Krishna ma'am's line.
Yeah.
But I'm on the speaker.
Yeah, so I'm looking at a mid-single digits kind of growth across the board. Across the board.
Okay. But TNQ business is supposed to deliver much better growth.
If you see the TNQ details when we had acquired them, one of our strategies was to plug in our sales team into their operations and get that growing faster. There's only been 2 quarters. The sales teams have connected. They're talking to each other. They're working together. So we should see an improvement, but the sales cycle is about 9 months to 12 months in our business. So, yeah, you will not see an uptake in 1 or 2 quarters.
Okay, fine. Thank you and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The next question is from the line of Garvita Jain from Seven Islands PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. I wanted to ask a question. My question is that we have new addition of customers and new orders. So could you please clarify, these orders are out of USA or worldwide?
They are across the board, USA, Europe, India, and Middle East. So, I don't have that breakup handy, but across the board, we are having a new logo acquisition.
Mostly US and Europe.
There's a little more focus on Europe and the US, so therefore there's more over there compared to India and Middle East.
So majority is from USA, right?
Yes. USA would be number one. Europe is also there, but yeah, USA would dominate.
Okay. Any number, if you can give me, what percentage?
I don't have those numbers handy right now.
Oh, all right. Thank you. That's all good.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The next question is from the line of Dhanshree Jadhav from Choice Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So you spoke about the growth to be mid-single digit for all the three segments. So if you can throw some more light, are we seeing a turnaround-led growth in digital technologies? Because margins have expanded quite strong there. Plus digital operations growth will be led by TNQ. So just want to have a long-term view on how our growth will look like. So FY26 will be strong led by inorganic, but going forward for FY27 also, if you can throw some points.
Yeah, this year we are looking at the mid-single digits, as I mentioned. There will be some of these will grow a little stronger. Digital experience, as you saw, had a little downswing and it'll bounce back, but net-net at the end of the year will be a little under pressure. Having said that, because the decision-making has been slower because of all the tariff wars and uncertainties that we have, I'm not looking at an aggressive performance this year beyond the 5-6% that we talked about. Next three years, if you're looking at that outlook, I think on the back of AI, I'm looking at a very good outlook. Our pipeline is quite decent on that. A lot of our POCs or pilot projects are now converting into commercial projects, and we should see a significant uptake in an AI-led kind of operation, both in DO, DE, as well as DT, across the board. So I am very bullish about the next 3 years, but this year will be a little soft.
Okay, I'm
hopeful. A lot of our new patent acquisitions also based on some AI solutions that we've been able to showcase.
Okay. And regarding the margins, we have said around, if I am not wrong, we have said expansion of 50 to 100 basis points, right, for this year?
Yes.
Okay. And predominantly will be led by digital operations, if I am not wrong.
Digital operations for sure. Some of it also coming from digital technologies.
Okay. Yeah. And the turnaround and whatever new progress we are seeing on the AI front, AI-led offerings, so can I infer that going forward FY 2027-28 also there would be a steady improvement in the margin profile that we are seeing currently?
So that we will see. That you're talking about the next year and year after. So we'll have to see how the AI thing pans out. It is beginning to show good productivity gains and therefore better margins. It also depends on how we are investing in it. Right now, as we talked about, that we invest about 40 to 50 crores. Depending on the impact. But I think we take that call towards the later part of this year.
So the 40 to 50 crores investment we have already done in FY25, right?
So our annual investment is that in that range. Earlier we were investing in the IP development on robotics and IDP and things like that. And now we've sort of pivoted a little bit of that into AI. So we've reduced the investment in those IPs that we had traditionally and putting the investment into AI. Generative AI to be more particular.
Great, great. Okay. Yeah, I think that's it from my side. Thanks for taking the question.
Thank you.
A reminder to the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Srinivasu K from TIA. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. What is your hiring trends and utilization level, sir?
So that's not a straightforward question. Utilization goes typically when you're looking at bodies in the tech space. In the BPO space, digital operations and digital experiences, you don't go by utilization. It's really the volume that a person does. If you see our attrition is down, the industry overall is soft, so we do expect the attrition to remain under control quite a bit. In terms of headcount increase, it will be proportionate to our revenue, because on the AI or the IP side and the AI side, we are still converting the pilots into commercial projects, so that's still going on, so you're not seeing the differential between the group. But however, for example, on the digital experiences side, increasingly we are now deploying AI agents versus human agents, and AI agents are augmenting our human agents. So you see, to some extent, a disproportionate revenue increase compared to headcount increase. But right now it's not clear, because some of these still have to have an adoption by the client, and right now they're still kind of early stage of adoption.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And what is your revenue outlook for FY26?
So, as I said, we are looking at a mid-single-digit kind of growth in this financial year. Organic.
Okay.
Organic. Okay. Then, of course, you can bolt on the inorganic, which is the T&Q piece.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Sumukh from Korman Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Sir, my question was, so we have a company called InfoBeam, which basically they have a partnership with Microsoft and they implement AI tools to their clients.
Your line is very unclear. The audio is coming muffled.
Better now, sir?
Hello? Yeah, this is better.
Yes, sir. So my question was, how is your company different from InfoBeam? Because from what I know, even they have a partnership with Microsoft and they do the implementation to their clients. So if you could throw some light on how you guys are different, that would be great.
So I don't know InfoBeam, so I really can't comment on what they're doing and what we're doing. But companies like Microsoft and Google have tens of hundreds of partners globally. So I don't think the partnership, the question is what kind of solution are we building along with these OEMs? And that's what's important. How do we jointly go to market and customize unique solutions for the customer base? I know that we are working both on the technical side with the technical R&D team, which is a very good engagement that we have, and we are able to jointly go to market and build unique solutions for customers. Now, as far as InfoBeam is concerned, I really don't know what they are doing, so I would refrain from any comment on that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. There are more questions.
Okay.
The next question is from the line of Vimal Parekh from Sunidhi. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for taking the question. As you mentioned that this year, you're expecting a mid single digit kind of growth, and the first quarter we've shown around a 17 or a 16% growth. So does that mean that the next few quarters are we looking at a negative growth or
no? Let me clarify. So we are talking about organic growth at mid single digits. Then you bolt on the acquisition that we made with TNQ. So therefore you're looking at, so we've showed a year-on-year growth of 18%. That should continue, that trajectory will continue. However, in Q4, it will be slightly different because last year Q4, we had the TNQ numbers reflecting in our numbers. So this year Q4 will not show that. So I'm differentiating between organic and inorganic. So I think you will see it in the teams.
Yeah. All right, I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yogesh Bhatia from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So there are a lot of, AI initiatives that we are taking across the DT, DO and DE. So I want to know, is there any sort of metrics that we are tracking in which, we can say that this growth is because of the AI initiatives and otherwise it's the conventional growth?
Is there That's difficult because today we are infusing AI into every opportunity that we have because that is going to be the norm very, very soon. So across these three operations, there is, and some of the newer wins are on the back of the AI solution that we've been able to showcase. I think the days of the traditional services are numbered and you're not going to see that. So it's very difficult to pull out whether you, and you get very few, these are purely AI deals. They are all integrated with the DTDODX. So pure AI you won't find, and then everything has AI in it. So it's very difficult to pull out a number saying this is specifically due to AI. But we can see that because we were able to showcase some uniqueness and productivity improvement to the customer, we were winning those deals.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That should be all, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Bimal Parikh from Sunidhi. Please go ahead.
Sorry again, sir. Just wanted to understand that you mentioned that this growth trajectory of around 18% will continue, right, for the year?
Yeah, so if you're looking at a year-on-year, 18, it'll, in Q4 it'll dip a little bit because Q4 numbers have the TQ numbers. So, but yeah, you're looking at the certainly mid-teens.
Mid-teens for the year?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And in terms of the EBITDA, we will continue our higher EBITDA what we've shown, or we plan to...
No, on the EBITDA, we see a improvement. Actually, we see a 50 to 100 basis points improvement during the course of the year.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you everybody for participating in our earnings calls. Really appreciate the time and attention that you're giving to Datamatics. And thank you for your word of confidence in the company and our performance. Look forward to once again meeting all of you in the next quarterly earnings call. Thank you again.
Thank you. On behalf of Datamatics Global Services Limited, we conclude this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.